Chapter 2. Of course, this is where a lot of the liberals get goofy and, you know, this Jesus drank wine and all this other stuff. You know, difference between old wine and new wine is biblical. There's a difference between the two. New wine is grape juice. Old wine is fermented hooch, and that's why we don't serve that stuff. This isn't Rome. We don't serve that in here. When we do the Lord's Supper, we serve grape juice, and we get stuff that's not expired, amen? But here we go. Jesus drank wine. Jesus made wine, all this. He made new wine. And wine is a type of the blood of, the new wine, grape juice, the type of blood of Christ. It's unfermented. It's perfect. And it's God's blood on Acts 20:28, which had to be shed to wash away our sins. Praise God that he was willing to do that. He looked down and decided to love us enough to do that. Isn't that something? I mean, we're a mess. And but God commended his love toward us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Good night. What a God. We sing that song, Amazing Grace, but if you really think about you, I mean, get up in the morning, look in the mirror, and just think about you. I'm not talking about the rest of the day when you just think about you, me. I'm talking about when you look in the mirror and being honest with yourself, amen? And say, that's the guy right there. That's the woman right there that gives me all the trouble, amen? That devil gets more credit than he deserves because most of it's me. Amen. You look in the mirror and be honest, and then imagine God deciding to die for you. It makes the amazing grace thing totally different. Amen. It's just all mercy and grace. Praise God. But here we are. Like I said, to finish that thought, the new wine, grape juice, the wine is it comes. New wine comes from the cluster. It says it's squeezed right out of the grapes, fresh. That's a type of the blood of Christ. And that fermented blood, that fermented wine, is a type of the blood of man, which is tainted. And no blood, no salvation. It has to be God's blood. Praise God. No death, burial, and resurrection, no salvation. Amen. You can't overemphasize the one and forget the other. It's the blood that made the atonement, but it's the resurrection. If you're saved today, you're saved and you're alive in the resurrecting power that Jesus Christ brought himself out of the grave with. He had the power to lay his life down. He had the power to take it up again. And that's it. Praise God, it's all him. Matter of fact, if I added my works to it anywhere, it'd mess it up. Amen. I don't work to get saved. I don't work to stay saved. I just want to try to do something to please him because I am saved. Amen. Amazing grace. Let's look at some things here in John chapter number 2, though, by the grace of God. It says, in the third day, verse 1, in the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. As we look back through this passage and jump back here to verse number 3, it says, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. They wanted wine. The first thing I want to look at is the searching of the thirsty. There are folks out there, they were there and they were thirsty. They were at this wedding and they were thirsty. You know there are folks outside these walls that are thirsty? There are folks that are saved that are thirsty because they don't go to the book and they don't go to the brook. Amen. That book is our brook. Amen. That's where we get our nourishment. That's where we get our bread. That's where we get our meat. That's where we get our water. That water is a type of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that a little bit more. That water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And that Bible says in John 6:63, is a spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. We've got a book that's spirit. That's not like, that garbage at the newsstand that you pick up or don't pick it up. You walk by it, try not to look at it, flip it around backwards, whatever, and who cares? Elvis has been dead so long, they still say he's not, and, now he's marrying JFK or something. I don't know what's going on. All kinds of crazy stuff going on there. But, that stuff there, pick up one of those, that garbage that the people read, and they say it's romance. It's smut, It's just garbage. We got a book, man. We got a book that is spirit. I'm not saying the other books don't have some spirit. Some of them are wrong. Some of them got a bad spirit, amen. Said Baptist preacher sometimes got a bad spirit, amen. But not that kind of bad spirit. But here, you're talking about something special that God has given you. He saved your soul. You never have to go to hell, and he's given you a book that is spirit and life. Think about that. It is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, Jesus Christ, those are his words. They are spirit and they are life. Isn't that something? Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and is a light unto my path. Here we are. All these things that God put in his word about his word. What's the Bible say? And I'm trying to think of the verse. I think it's Psalm 119:136. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. I'm glad that simple part's in there, amen. You might think you're complex. You might not have your whole outhouse wallpapered with diplomas. I don't know what you got. You might think you're something, but I'm going to tell you what, we're simple. Amen. We are simple. God looks at us and he's not impressed with your education. He's not impressed with all your knowledge, your advanced superior knowledge. They told me that in school, Oh, you are an expert witness in court. You have advanced superior knowledge and all this stuff. And if an accident happens, you're the first one on the scene. Just all this crazy stuff trying to puff up your head. You know what I found out? We're just simple. Amen. We're just simple. God gives us a bone every once in a while and says, here's something you can actually use in this world. But a lot of us, we just think we're something we're not. We're just simple. I'm glad God gave us a book that the simple can understand. Amen. You know what I simply figured out real quick? I was a sinner. Amen. Let me help you out. You're a sinner. Amen. Just give it to you right out, right over the plate. You take a swing at it, you're a sinner. For all sin comes short of the glory of God, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're sitting here today and you're saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, you believe that book and you like the preaching and teaching out of that book, even if a donkey does it, amen. The south end of a northbound donkey preaching it, it's still a good book, amen, no matter what happens. But if you're here today and you're saved and you believe that book and you read that book and you're taught that book and you're preached out of that book, and you meditate over that book and you study that book, you are a rarity. You're a rarity, and you have no reason to be thirsty. God will give you a drink every time you open it. Every time you open it. But the world's thirsty. There are people out there that just need a drink. I'm not talking about that Western, I'm going to the saloon type thing. I'm talking about they need a drink of water from God. They're looking. They're searching. And again, the devil will tell you, ain't nobody cares anymore. Well, they do. They care. They're worried about them. They just don't know what the answer is. They know what the problem is. Even lost people know the problem's them. Amen. They don't know what the answer is. They're searching. They're thirsty. The searching and the thirsty. Outside these walls, there are people looking for truth. And what the devil has done is he has taken all these lies and thrown them out there. And some of it's just so foolish. And then they said, but look at the Bible, and look at this story, and look at that story, and look at this. You really believe that book, the story of Jonah? Yes, I believe the story of Jonah. I believe if God wanted Jonah to swallow the whale, he could have done it. Amen. I don't have a problem with Jonah. I believe Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. The rest of it, not a problem. Amen. But they'll try to make fun of the Bible, and then they throw all these crazy things out there, and people are so confused, and they're thirsty, and they're looking for truth, and they don't know what it is. And you know what the sad part is? We've got it, and we'll back down. We'll back down. We'll stand there and say, the Word of God says, that's good for you. Who are you to say, who are you to tell me, you and your religion and all this stuff. I've heard it on the street corners. I've heard it handing out tracts. I've heard it street preaching. I've heard it in different environments preaching. And I've heard them say, who are you to tell me? I said, I'm just a voice in the wilderness. I'm nobody. I'm telling you the same thing God told me. You're wicked. You're ungodly. Well, I'm not ungodly. Well, then you're in trouble because Christ died for the ungodly. Amen? We don't have to back down. We've got the truth. People are thirsty. They need the truth. You know what I found out? If you don't back down, they'll listen to you usually. Amen. What they want you to do is just back down and leave them alone so they can go on about their merry way. But if you keep praying and God keeps lining up these opportunities, you're going to find out when you don't back down, they'll start taking you seriously. Look, you can give the truth in love. Sometimes you got to be a little less loving than truthful. But you can give the truth in love, but you don't have to back down. You got the right book. You got the right spirit. You got the right Savior. You got the right faith. You put your faith in the right place. People out there are thirsty. Look at verse 4. It says, Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. We see the sovereignty of God. Now, I'm not talking about this Calvinism stuff where, you know, God picks and chooses who goes to heaven, who goes to hell, and all that stuff. I don't believe that for a second. God's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't want anybody to die and go to hell. For God so loved the world, He died for the whole world. He died for everybody. He didn't die for just a few people that are elect. He predestinated you at salvation to be conformed to the image of Christ. I'm not a Calvinist. But God is sovereign. You know what that means? Ain't nobody tells God what to do. And guess what? You can tell the Pope this for me when you see him. Mary didn't tell him what to do.
Right.
His mother didn't tell him. He said, what have I to do with thee?
Right.
What have I to do? She didn't say, now, Jesus, you remember now, they got to go to me to get to you. She didn't say that. Now, Jesus, remember now, I'm your mother and you're going to do what I tell you. She didn't say that.
Right.
You know what she knew? He's Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. She knew who he was.
Right.
And knows who he is.
Amen.
Amen. The sovereignty of God. Nobody tells God what to do. God can change his mind.
Yeah.
He's done it. He was going to smoke everybody with Israel. He's going to get rid of all of them and start over with Moses, and he changed his mind.
Right.
You know, Moses said, hey, this could look bad. He changed his mind. But he's sovereign. Nobody makes God do anything. You know the devil tried to do that to Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God, right? The Spirit took him up to the high mount. The devil's up there trying to get him to do all this stuff. He told him not to tempt the Lord his God. He answered him with Scripture. He's sovereign. He does what he wants. If he wants to change his mind, he'll change his mind. But the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Praise God. For by grace you say through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He gives you a gift. You don't repent of that. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He saved your soul. You're saved. And he's given you a ministry. He's called you to a ministry of reconciliation. He's not going to take that away from you. Amen. The searching of the thirsty, the sovereignty of God. Look at the servant's heart in verse 5. His mother saith unto the servants, Whosoever he saith unto you, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now she had a servant's heart. She said, whatever Jesus says, do it. And you know what the servants are supposed to do? Whatever Jesus says. You know what you're supposed to do, what I am supposed to do, what we are supposed to do? Whatever Jesus says. Whatever, you know, most of the time he'll talk to you straight out of this book. Amen. But sometimes he'll say, hey, go over there, give him a track. Amen. That woman over there, stop and talk to her about me. A guy in line, you know, like Paul and I were talking about, wrestle that sack open at Walmart and put a track in it. Amen. Got to tell you that stuff. He'll talk to you. We're supposed to just serve him. That's our job, is to serve him. And our service is the ministry of reconciliation, telling everybody about Jesus Christ and how to get to heaven. So we see the searching of the thirsty, the sovereignty of God, the servant's heart, and boy, it'd be good. You know what every church member needs? You know the pastor's a member of the church too? Amen? You know what every church member needs? A servant's heart. Amen? You know what a servant's heart is? It's not what you can do for me, what can I do for you? Amen. There'd probably be like 30 Baptist churches in the world people get a hold of that, amen. But they don't get a hold of that and they end up split. But we're supposed to serve Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be in unity to glorify Him. We're supposed to be in unity with this ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile man to God through the blood of Jesus Christ, to point him to the cross and tell him about the death, the burial and the resurrection, the servant's heart. Look at 6 and 7. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. We see the 6 usable vessels. Why were they usable? Well, they had, you talk about the purifying of the Jews, they had one purpose, right? They had a purpose. But they surrendered to another purpose. Right? They were going to be used for something different. So people think they have purpose. But when you're saved, God gives you a new purpose. You notice something about those usable vessels? He said, fill them with water. You know, water's a type of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a little bit ago. The Bible says, be ye filled with the Spirit. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're Spirit filled, you can be used of God. A lot of times we get this in this battle where we don't have a whole lot of spirituality. And it's a battle. But we ought to be seeking to be filled with God, to be filled with the Spirit of God. I don't want, the charismatics aren't stealing that from me. The Holy Spirit's still in the Bible, amen? I'm not going to run around bonking people in the head and speaking gibberish, but I'm telling you what, you're supposed to be Spirit-filled. We're supposed to be Spirit-filled. We can be filled with the Spirit of God. We just read the Bible as Spirit. Fill yourself up with the Word of God. You ever go to the gas station and fill your car about halfway up with gas and then just go in and get you some diesel, get you some brake fluid, fill it the rest of the way with brake fluid. Amen. You think it's going to run very good? If that thing's filled up with nothing but gas, it's going to do pretty good. But see, our problem is we the Spirit has us. We're saved. I understand that. We have the Holy Spirit of God, but we're not Spirit-filled most of the time. We're filled with the world. So how do you stop that thing at the gas station? Quit putting in a brake fluid. Amen? Don't put the oil in the gas, man. Don't do that. That's not your transmission. Don't put that stuff in there. Put some good, clean fuel in there. What am I saying? I'm saying shut the TV off. Shut the radio off. Hide from your stupid phone for a while. Get along with God and fill yourself up with the words of God. So I'm going to read the Bible for 8.5 minutes a week, and I'm going to watch filth the rest of the week. So I'm not watching anything R-rated. Oh, good night. If they're rating it G now, it's R when I was a kid. I mean, it's garbage. You can't. You tell me how many commercials you can see where you think you ought to shouldn't be watching that stuff. Hey, man, come on, tell me. Be true. Be honest. Fill yourself up with clean stuff. Fill yourself up with clean stuff. Well, I just want God to use me. Oh, what time's my show on? Well, God ain't watching that mess. You know, I used to like football, you know, when I was younger and all that stuff, play it and whatever. We had some mean girls. We played after school. We had some girls that knock you out playing football, man. Billy Davis, man, she's bigger than I am. She broke, Rick Sample weighed like 300 pounds. He was a lineman for our school. She broke his leg out there. He was done, man. He was out. She scared me. I always wanted a quarterback because I thought she ain't after the quarterback. I can't throw that good, but I just don't want her hurting me, amen. It's embarrassing. But the thing is, all that stuff, God don't care about that stuff. I don't care what you put on your sneakers and go out and make $1 million with. God ain't watching your basketball game. Now, he might be saving you from some trouble and might be blessing you and giving you some opportunities, but he ain't sitting around going, yeah, another three-pointer. God don't care about that junk. You know what he cares about? That book and his son. The word and the words. He cares about the blood that was shed on Calvary. He still cares about you. I'm not telling you he wants you to have $1 million and he wants you to have all this stuff and he wants you to just be rich as the world sees riches. I'm telling you he wants you to be able to get to the judgment seat of Christ and have some rewards. He wants to be able to say, well done, a good and faithful servant. He cares about you and he cares about using you for the ministry of reconciliation. Those six usable water pots, they were surrendered and they were filled. You ever think about that? Part of that surrendered is dedicating yourself to him. And say, I'm going to focus on you and your word. You ever been reading through the Bible and say, good night, I've never noticed that before? If you haven't, you haven't read your Bible much. Yeah. Amen. I mean, if you picked it up 30 times in your life, you've done that. If you've actually read through a little bit. That book's an amazing book. They were surrendered, they were filled. Look at verse 8. And he said to them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. The serving of the people. Jesus prepared for the thirsty, and he had other people serve the thirsty. Now, we just talked earlier about the world's out there full of thirsty people. Thirsty, confused people. Maybe even thirsty, saved, confused people. Amen. But he's prepared everything they need, and he expects us to give it to them. He expects us to give it to them. Talk to people all the time, and they say, well, I'm saved, I just don't feel saved. Well, sometimes I don't either. Matter of fact, I just got cut off back there, and the devil told me I wasn't saved. Yeah. And I believed him because what I thought when I got cut off.
Yep.
Amen. Oh, y'all, I know everybody else is more spiritual than I am. But the honest truth is, some days you just don't have it.
Yeah.
Some things just work your nerves. Some things get under your skin. And, you know, so I've had people say, well, I just don't feel saved. What do I do? I said, you read your Bible? I got one somewhere. You ever read it? Oh, I don't. I probably haven't read that since vacation Bible school. You know, you're talking about 30, 40-year-old man or woman. Well, I don't really. I mean, our preacher preaches out of it sometimes, but I really don't read it. I said, well, why don't you read it? Get yourself a King James Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Just read it. You know, if they're lost, I said, go to Romans, go to John. Just read John and Romans. They're saved and they're hurting, go to Psalms. You want to find out how God wants you to live? Go to Proverbs, you know. Look at Proverbs. You want to find out what God has in store for you in the future? Look at Daniel. Look at Revelation. Amen. I mean, there's some stuff. Man, there's some amazing stuff in there. I mean, if you're lost on your way to hell, it'll tell you how to get to heaven. If you're saved and all goofed up, don't know what's going on, it'll tell you how to get your faith back. So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and how to build your faith. Increase our faith, Lord. If you're saved and you're reading your Bible and you're studying and you're really praying and you're really trying to rightly divide this thing and you're really seeking out truth, you know what God will do? He'll start giving you some things, just fire you up about the Bible. You're not going to outdo this book. You're not going to outgrow it or get past it. You ain't going to get over it. I mean, you get in the book of Revelation, you got some amazing stuff going on in there. When I first got saved, I looked at the book of Revelation. I thought, I can't read that, man. I don't know what's going on there. But you know what's going on there? He's showing us what's coming. What are we looking for? Jesus Christ. He's coming to call us out of here. Hey, you better be ready. But he prepared everything, and he had the people serve the other people. So when it was all said and done, the thirsty people got something to drink. How many people around you are thirsty? How many people in your life are thirsty? How many people do you rub shoulders with on a regular basis are thirsty? And how many of them are you offering, hey, here's my canteen, you can have a drink out of this. Amen? I'll show you where the brook is. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. Sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. Serving the people. You know, look at verse 9 and 10. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning does set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. The satisfying content. The truth's not always pleasurable for the flesh, and it's not always pleasant for the flesh, but it's always satisfying. It's always satisifying. People are trying all kinds of stuff to be satisfied, to try to figure out how to get satisfied. You know, they try dope. They try booze. All different kinds of dope anymore. They try the... Maybe the doctor can prescribe me the right thing to satisfy me. Maybe if I just had all these extra relationships that are not biblical when you're talking about physical stuff, amen, maybe that would be satisfying. That's what Hollywood does. That's what the sports stars do. That's what most Americans do. They just they don't understand what God wants and what satisfies. You know what satisfies? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. You know what satisfies? King James Bible. You know why people are all goofed up? I'll just go ahead and say it. That NIV and all that stuff, that's out of the devil. If you don't believe it, study it out. I done showed you the two Bible lines where it comes from. It comes down through Rome and Westcott and Hort, where a bunch of perverted witches and goofballs that didn't believe anything about the Bible, that messed with the transcripts and manuscripts. But you get people all goofed up because they got the wrong book. I don't suggest reading it, but when you pick this book up, it's different. It's different. A good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of death better than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for it is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to heart. You know, I think maybe a better understanding would be a grand nameage. I mean, I just come up with something goofy. Did that bother you? Didn't that help? Isn't that good to hear?
Yeah.
I mean, God's Word. You know what else God's Word says? Where the word of a king is, there is power. Oh, you in that King James Bible? Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. And Ecclesiastes says, where the word of a king is, there is power. You got the right Bible, read that thing and watch what it does. There's no other book like it. There never has been and there never will be. And when he says, Revelation, he says, and the books were open and another book was open, I guarantee you this is going to be open. I guarantee you. And it won't be the only one. But for you and your excuses, if you're lost, you better get saved. Because when them books are open, all the excuses are going to be answered right here. He's going to say, I give you my word. And he's going to say, look, right here I said, I never knew that. Well, you didn't go to church. Well, I never knew that. You didn't read your Bible. I never knew that. You never got saved. I didn't know that. Well, I didn't know these rules. I didn't understand that. God's going to say, I give you my word. He's not going to say, oh, I made a mistake. Maybe I should go and let you in. God didn't make a mistake. Here are the answers. Open book test, amen? Nobody opens a book anymore. But they're satisfying. That what Jesus Christ done was satisfying. So satisfying. It was like, the other guy, think about what the fella told him. He said, talking about other men and you saving the best for last. He goes, this is good stuff. I've been to some weddings. I ain't never seen nothing like this. This is good wine. Where'd you get this? Where'd you get those grapes? Kroger? No. But he was impressed with the satisfaction he got from getting a drink from Jesus. You ever just go get a drink from Jesus? I'm not talking about just showing up to church and hoping some water falls on you. I'm talking about on purpose. Going to the well here and saying, Lord, do something for me. Help me. Strengthen me. Carry me. Change me. I want to be more like you here. Oh, yeah, we're going to, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we'll all be changed. He wants to change you here. He wants to change you here. He wants to give you a sweet, meek, humble, loving spirit that can deliver truth. And he also wants to give you a shield. He wants to give you a sword. He wants to give you his armor so you can go out there and battle. But most of the time, it's time to be meek and loving and present the truth. But every once in a while, you got to whip the sword out and just cut out all the baloney. Amen. I deal with Muslims every once in a while. I deal with the Catholics every once in a while. I deal with the atheists every once in a while. The Jews every once in a while. Different people every once in a while. And I just, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. And when they say, no, I don't want to hear about that, that's all a fairy tale. A fairy tale, I'm going to tell you what, you'll burn in hell one day according to the Word of God. You say, well, that's terrible. It is terrible. I don't want them to burn in hell. Amen. My Savior died for them so they don't have to burn in hell. And all the stuff, they can get their prayer rugs, they can get their Quran, they can get their Torah out, they can get all their beads and all their little idols and all their stuff, and they can go through all their rituals, and they can do it until they're walking and crawl around on broken glass and rocks until their knees bleed and all this goofy stuff that people do over in the Philippines. They have mock crucifixions and all this stuff they do where they actually put people on crosses and stuff and leave them up there. All that stuff, it never satisfies. You know what satisfies? What Jesus Christ already did. Most people will never be satisfied because their sin debt has never been satisfied because they've never went to Calvary and said, Lord, forgive me and save me. I'm trusting you and you alone. The content. What Jesus Christ did at that wedding, satisfied. Now, think about, look at this. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water, you know what he said? Man, he goes, that's something different about that. There is something different about that. All the religion, all the stuff in the world, there's something different about Jesus Christ. There's something different about the Word of God. There's something different about the Spirit of God. Should be something different about His people. Amen. Oh, I've been around Baptists long enough, and you know, I'm a Baptist from top of my head, bottom of my feet, and all that stuff, and I'm a Bible believer more than I am a Baptist. So I can't believe some of the stuff Baptists are doing. But they've been doing, I don't even believe some of the stuff Baptists believe anymore. I believe what they used to believe. I mean, they believe some goofy stuff now. But this whole thing about, you know, well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. You know what I found out about giving a piece of your mind? You only got so many pieces. And when you run out, you've lost your mind. Amen. So when you start giving a piece of your mind, you better be careful. It might be the last piece. I mean, you've been giving it out for years. Ain't nobody giving it back. You've just been losing into this thing. That meek and lowly Christ was our example. How can I help you? Jesus came to minister. How can I help you? You know, the Bible talks a lot about war, and the great generals and leaders in wars over the years have been, a lot of them have been Bible believers, and a lot of them got their ideas from the Bible about different things, the different war tactics and stuff. There's some amazing stuff in there on war. You know, but here's the thing. When you're dealing with the lost, it's tough, but when you're dealing with the saved, it gets tougher sometimes. And here's why. We don't understand we're in a battle. We're supposed to be unified fighting the same fight. Amen? Sometimes people are injured on the battlefield. You know, when somebody goes in for a major surgery, they go in, they have a triple bypass, and they get their appendix out, and they got a kidney removed and all this stuff at the same time. You don't expect them. You don't go to them and say, why aren't you running a marathon? Yeah. You idiot. You're supposed to be running a marathon. You know, spiritually, people get like that. They get totally annihilated. And you can't expect a lot out of them sometimes. You can't. You just got to pray for them and wait for God to heal them or try to help them. Amen. I mean, honestly, you can't expect much out of us anyway. We're goofballs. But you can get a drink from God. And you get that water from God. You get filled up like those six water pots were. And you'll have something to give somebody else. Other than a piece of your mind. Amen. You better hang on to that. The satisfying content. Oh, here it is, man. Look at verse 10 again. And saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. And when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. You know what Jesus Christ has done? You know what he did there? That guy said, you saved the best for last. You know he saved the best for last? Everything you go through, all the heartache and pain you go through, trials and tribulation, loss and rough times, financial problems and all that stuff. He saved the best for last. I mean, he's given us so much in salvation, but he saved the best for last. You know what he's going to do? He's going to call us out of here. He's going to call us out of here. And I wholeheartedly believe, rightly dividing that book, we'll be at the judgment seat of Christ, marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to come back with Him and rule and reign with Him. How do I know that? That Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord when we leave here. So if He's coming back, we are too. He saved the best for last. He saved the best for last. See, where was the Word of God before the King James Bible got here? Well, it was here, but He saved the best for last. You say, well, they're going to need another one. No, we're not, because we're getting out of here. Amen. Don't need to rewrite it. You need to reread it. Amen? Right. So I need a new King James Bible. Well, you ain't read the old one yet. Keep reading it. See what happens. Maybe God will give you a new one. But here's the thing. He saved the best for last. I hope today. But wouldn't it be good? I mean, we're look around. We're looking at a bunch of people. We got injuries, man. Physical, spiritual. Wouldn't it be good just... I mean, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. It will happen. It will happen. If it doesn't happen in your lifetime, the grave can't keep you. If it happens in your lifetime, this world ain't keeping you. You might try to hang on to it, but it ain't going to hang on to you. Amen. we're getting out of here. And I really, the date setters frustrate me, but good night, I hope they're right. Soon. Somebody please be right. Soon. Somebody has to accidentally be right unless God just pulls one on them where, like I said before, he'll pick a day nobody ever picked just to show them they're fools. But man, I'll tell you what, I hope they're right. I hope it's this year. I hope it's this week. I hope it's this day. I hope it's before 12. It's 3 minutes till. I'm ready. You ready? You ready? He saved the best for last. We're getting out of here. We're getting out of here.